Shalom and Bokir Tov. Welcome back to the broadcast. And today is Tuesday, March 21st, 2017, and we are working through our study in the book of Revelation. And today we are ready for chapter 11, a short chapter, but a chapter that's dealing with the two witnesses. Lots of opinions out there about the two witnesses. And I'm just going to share basically what those opinions are, and then tell you what I think is most likely. But again, you know, we are just speculating on a lot of this stuff. Time will tell for sure. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to thank those of you who support and who support this mission to get the gospel out, to teach about end times. Those of you who've donated. Recently, I got a letter in the mail with a generous donation, and I've gotten emails from people and messages from people encouraging me and telling me how much they appreciate the work that's being done. And I just wanted to take a second to say that I'm very, very grateful, very thankful for you guys, and it's humbling that there's people out there who find what I'm doing valuable, and so that means a lot to me, so I just wanted to say thank you for that. Also wanted to remind you real quick that there will not be a prophecy podcast at the end of this week because I will be out of town administering a wedding out of state, and so I just ask that you pray for me for safe travels, and that you pray that I have a spirit of calmness and a clear mind while I'm actually performing the marriage. So thank you in advance for that. All right, so we are ready for chapter 11. And let's just get right into it. Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be treaded under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and 1/10 part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe hath come quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Alright, so that is chapter 11. Now let's walk through this a little bit. The two witnesses. In verse 3 says, And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, there's a couple of possibilities about who the two witnesses are. Verse 4 says, These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. It is possible, I'll tell you the most unpopular viewpoint, and that is that this is a remnant of people, Christian and Jewish, the church and Masonic Jews that are standing before the God of earth. Because you have the olive trees, which symbolize, you know, Israel or the Jewish people, and you have the two candlesticks, which we know symbolize churches, because that symbolization and explanation was given to us at the very book of Revelation. Jesus specifically tells us that's what the candlesticks are. So there's people who believe that that's a possibility. There's also the possibility that it's Moses and Elijah. This is probably the most popular view, and I'll tell you why. Verse 5 says, If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. The power that they have are the same power that was given to the prophet Elijah. He shut up the heavens for 7 years, if you remember that story. And then, of course, Moses was, you know, in Egypt with that whole showdown with Pharaoh, you know, the plagues that were brought upon Egypt. The river was turned to blood. So in those ways, there's that similarity. Also, the Bible goes out of its way to demonstrate Moses and Elijah specifically showing up again. If we go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, and we go to 17, we have the transfiguration. I'll just read a little bit of it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them, Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples heard it, and fell on their faces, and were sore afraid. Jesus goes on to tell them, don't tell anybody about this vision until after he dies. And they ask him the question, they say, you know, the prophecies say that Elijah's supposed to come first. And then Jesus goes on to explain, well, he did come, but he was not recognized. And the scriptures tell us that he was talking about John the Baptist. So we have that transfiguration. We have those two showing up on the scene. I don't know that, you know, there's obviously not an easy connection I can make between that and this, but for whatever reason, it just adds to that value that it could be those two. And I think that's a very good possibility. Honestly, I think either one's a good possibility. The two options I just gave you. Some people think it's Elijah and Enoch, Hanak, because Enoch and Elijah both were raptured and did not face death. You know, they were both taken. But I don't think that's a good reason to believe this, because there's going to be a lot of people who are raptured who never end up dying, regardless of where you believe the rapture takes place. So I think the most likely is the commonly held belief of Moses and Elijah. And I think the second option is that it's a remnant of people, not just two guys standing there prophesying. And it says, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, a lot of people envision, because of end time prophecy movies and books and stuff, that the Antichrist himself will like put a gun in his hand and walk into Jerusalem and walk up to the two prophets and like shoot them dead and kill them in the street or something. I think when it's talking about the beast here, I think it's talking about the beast government, the beast system. I don't think it's talking about one man walks up and kills them and executes them like you see portrayed in movies and things. Verse 8 says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And of course, we know we're talking about right there in Israel, where the Lord was crucified. I believe it's talking about Jerusalem. Apparently, it's at that time it'll be spiritually like Sodom and like Egypt, which, you know, I think is a picture of immorality and false worship, false gods. Verse 9, And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. So in other words, they're just going to leave their corpses there to rot. And it says, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them and that dwelt on the earth. So they're literally going to mail gifts like to each other, kind of like what we do at Christmas time. You know, they're going to send each other gifts to celebrate the fact that these two prophets are dead, because, you know, they were preaching righteousness, preaching the kingdom of God. And of course, people that tried to make war with them were killed, and the plagues, and of course the droughts and everything that came as a result of that. So they're going to celebrate this. And then the interesting thing is, it says after 3 days and a half, so 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So the people are going to see them resurrected, and then see and then hear a voice from heaven telling them to come up hither and watch them ascend into heaven. At that very same hour, the scriptures say here in verse 13 that there's going to be a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city is going to fall, and 7,000 people are going to die. This is going to be so tremendous. This is the second woe, by the way. It's going to be so tremendous that even the remnant will be afraid. And of course, they'll give glory to God. And the scriptures say, woe, the second woe is past, and behold, a third woe is coming quickly. Now, we heard what the first woe was, I believe, last week or the week before, dealing with, you know, the bottomless pit being opened up and angels, four angels being released from the river Euphrates and all that mess. And then it says the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become like the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 40 and 20 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was us and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, should destroy them which destroy the earth." And then, of course, there's more voices, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. So, that is chapter 11. And, you know, very interesting. A lot of people, they want to debate over, you know, what this is, what that is. I saw a scripture the other day, and I posted it on Facebook for you guys, that really just kind of stuck out to me in regards to all this, you know, because people want to vehemently argue over end time prophecy, and I've just taken the position that I'm not going to do a lot of that. I'll show you my point of view. I'm not going to fight with you over the rapture. You know, people come and leave passive aggressive comments and things trying to mock me and those who follow me. It's just like, how is that Christ-like at all? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 says this, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." You know, there's so many people that are wise in their own eyes, especially when it comes to the things of God and end time prophecies. And the scriptures are saying, you know what, when you think you've arrived, when you think you know it all, when you think you know something, you actually know nothing that you ought to know. And so let's remember to be humble when we're looking at these things, and remember that prophecy is mostly understood in hindsight, and it'll make a lot more sense as it develops. And there's no need to mock people about what their view is of how things are going to play out in the last days. You know, we shouldn't be divided and be at, you know, odds at one another about these things, because the most important thing is that we're in the same family, that we're in, you know, that we love Christ, that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and he died and he rose again. You know, those core doctrinal beliefs are what we need to be hanging our hat on. And as far as end time prophecy, we do the best we can to understand it. God gave it to us because he wants us to understand it. And knowledge is certainly increasing in regards to this, just like the book of Daniel said that it would. And so we should definitely be paying attention to that. But let's do it with all humility. That is the podcast for this morning, and I hope that it blessed you. I pray that it did, and I'd love to hear about it in the comments. I'll be back with you again next week with our study in the Revelation, and then there'll be also be a prophecy podcast next week. But that is it for this week. That's all I got. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.